Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Well, a very good morning to you on this June 1st. Can you believe it already? June 1st. Here we are. I'm Lynette, Dr. Mixon here, Dr. Samira Umat, and our special guest doctor in the studio, Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. We call him the pain doctor. He's the one that if you're going, oh, it hurts, or I'm stiff, or I have this in my hip, in my knee, in my back, you are the guy, right?
Dan Nelson,
yes.
Unlike the old doctor story, you know, where you say, doctor, it hurts when I do this. And he says, well, then
don't do that.
With Dan, you come in and you say, it hurts when I do this. He says, let me inject that.
That's exactly what he says.
And then you can go ahead and do it all you want.
Yes. It's like,
and then when the pain comes back, come on back and I'll give you another shot.
Right. Yeah. It's a great business model.
Oh, yes. Well, good to be back. I can't believe it's already June 1st. I'm going to give that phone number real quick so that folks can get on the line and in the phone queue quick. That seems to work really well. We don't want you to wait until the end of the show. If you've got a question for Dr. Nelson, Dr. Mixon, or Dr. Umat. Now is the time to call and get your phone call. Oh, looks, Ray already did that. Way to go, Ray. We'll get to you soon. Here is the number. It's 206-421-5757. But Dr. Mixon, I noticed you didn't have a smile on your face. You always have a smile, but this has not been a good week for you and so many
This has not been a good week for America.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
We've had some really horrible precedents set this week that have never occurred before in American history. And I have some advice I'm going to be giving on this show, though I suspect he doesn't listen to the show, to Donald Trump. And I want to set the stage by pointing out that I am not by nature a pacifist. I am born and raised on military bases. I served in combat units. Unlike the pious amongst us, if you slap me on the left cheek, I'm likely to break your nose with the first punch and then move into some real combat. But that's not the advice I'm giving Donald. So... this week reminds me of 46 BC when Gaius Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon from Gaul into Italy and triggered the civil war that resulted in Caesar becoming dictator and the destruction of the Roman Republic. And we are on the verge, with the actions that happened this week, of losing our republic and becoming a military dictatorship. And that scares the hell out of me because I love this country. But I have to tell you, as I watched what happened this week in New York, for the first time in my life, I was ashamed to be an American. Because this was the most un-American activity that I can conceive. This country's made a lot of mistakes in the last 250 years, but that's because it's a country made up of human beings, and we are flawed, fallible creatures. And any government made up of people is going to screw up from time to time. But from the institution of our nation, no matter how much politicians disagreed with one another, never in American history has a political party set about imprisoning their political competition. It's never, ever happened before in the history of this country. And this week, we had a Stalinist-type show trial in which, you know, the thing was, you show me the man and I'll create a crime for him. I'll show you the crime. And that's what they've done with Mr. Trump repeatedly. And the Donald is a thin-skinned, egocentric son of a bitch who is inclined to lash out at people who wrong him. And I'm strongly encouraging him to not do that this time. Because just as crossing that previous Rubicon in 46 BC resulted in the destruction of the Roman Republic, the attacks on Mr. Trump and the reaction, the heartfelt but vehement reactions of half this country that I'm seeing online could, with the actions of a few injudicious hotheads who pick up their rifles and do stupid things, could result in the imposition of martial law in the United States. So here's what I'm thinking. In 2015, we discovered that Hillary Clinton had run a homebrewed server that she did Secretary of State business on, and that on that homebrewed server was malware put there by a foreign government, at least according to the Inspector Generals of the United States, that was sending everything she sent as our Secretary of State to a foreign country real time. Now, interestingly, Mr. Horowitz, who did the Inspector General's job, did not tell us who the country was. He did say it wasn't Russia. So she wasn't sending stuff to Russia, but we don't know who it was. Was it Israel? Was it Venezuela? Was it China? Was it Cuba? Was it who? North Korea? Or was it one of our allies? Was it one of the Five Eyes? Was it going to Australia, Britain, Israel? We don't know. We just know that it was going somewhere it wasn't supposed to go. We also know that when her data was subpoenaed, she purposely deleted 33,000 emails. She then hired a company to do what's called BleachBit. It's a program designed to overwrite every single sector of every single bit and byte on her computer so that nobody could do a forensic analysis and find out what had been on her computer. And she had her staff take their cell phones and BlackBerries and smash them with hammers so that they could not be examined. Mm. Now, this is about as vicious a proof of wrongdoing as you could possibly get.
Well, and this affects our country.
And if you and I did that, we would be in jail.
Oh, boy.
And in Mr. Trump's rallies, people were chanting, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And he even orchestrated that. He waved his arms as though he were an orchestra conductor to lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. That made me nervous because I was afraid he was really going to lock her up. But Mr. Trump, despite having very good evidence of criminal activity that would put me and you in prison, decided to honor America's 250-year-long tradition. And he did not lock her up. He did not have her tried. She did not go to jail. He honored the longstanding American tradition that we do not lock up our political opponents. That is done in Venezuela. It's done in Cuba. It's done in the Soviet Union. It's done in China. It's done in authoritarian states everywhere, but it's not done in America. And for the first time in American history, we have a administration that is going after the political opponents with a concerted effort to put Mr. Trump in prison. And I don't know Mr. Trump personally. I have been invited to Mar-a-Lago and to see a film, and I've, you know, shaken his hand, but I've never had more than hello, sir, conversation, so he doesn't know me from Adam. But during this coming week, I am going to be contacting every single person I know who does have access to Mr. Trump. I'm going to be talking to Larry Elder. I'm going to be talking to Hugh Hewitt. I'm going to be talking to Sebastian Gorka and anyone and everyone else I know that might be able to at least get to his team. Mm. And here's the advice I'm going to give Mr. Trump. Donald, swallow your pride and be an American. And show the world the contrast between you and your political opponents. Just as in your 2016 campaign, you promised us constitutionalists as the Supreme Court nominees. Promise us this time that you will not take that sort of revenge against your political opponents. Remind people that you did not put Hillary Clinton in prison. And promise us you will not put the Biden family in prison. Whether they deserve it or not, you don't do that. Promise us that those that have wronged you, you will expose what they did. You will do even-handed investigations and let the American people see what was done. But stop it at that. And do not prosecute anyone and put them in prison. With one possible exception. And that is, we have learned that during the anti-Trump fervor of 2016, our CIA, which was forbidden by law to do anything within the United States, they are our formal spy agency, and they're supposed to spy on foreign countries, not Americans. Our CIA did approach the Five Eyes, our four partners in spying, and encouraged and facilitated them to spy on our own president. Now, this is Australia, Israel, Britain, maybe somebody in the CIA needs to be prosecuted for spying, but other than that, no. Leave your political opponents out of it, and you may not forgive them, but don't put them in prison. Promise us you'll do that, and you will win the election, hands down, because that'll convince those people in the middle, the independents, that you're worthy of being president.
Yeah, taking the high road. Very good. All right. Very good. Thank you, Dr. Mixon. Hey, this is Leading Edge Medicine, and we are anxious to take your calls. We have several on the line, and we're going to dive in just a few moments. Here is that phone number for you to get through and get into our phone queue. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. Anybody else seeing dancing grapes or raisins?
Yes, raisins.
Yeah.
Raisins.
Dancing raisins. Oh, boy. Welcome back. We are Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. We're glad you're here. We are live in the studio, which is actually bigger. We're in a new studio today. It's not quite done.
No, it's not.
No, but
ripped out the walls and did the plastering this week.
Yeah,
so
no,
we're sitting here in a half-finished
deal.
We're
in the same space, but the space around us expanded.
Has expanded.
Right. It's gone from 100 square feet, 10 by 10, to 600 square
feet. Whoa. And even though I've been looking at this space place for years, I couldn't have visualized what it looked like without the walls.
There you go. Look over there. Massage tables can go in that corner.
Oh, that's your imagination working overtime, girl.
Oh, that's so good. All right. Well, the Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Samira Umat in the studio, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and from Pro Ortho, Dr. Dan Nelson, the pain specialist. And if you've got questions, this is the day to call in. We're going to dive in. Ray from the East Side has called in and would like to talk, has a question for the doctors. Hey. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. Before I say ask my question, hey, Dr. Mixon, you know, I listen to a lot of conservative radio, the big names on TV, on the station you hear. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your advice is the best advice I've heard. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That is really, really wise.
Yes. Yeah. My husband just said, go, Dr. Mixon. He was texting me. Goes, go, Dr. Mixon. Yeah.
Well, you know, and I am not by nature a peacemaker. I am a warrior bred and trained.
Yeah.
And which is why I said,
I really appreciate it. I think that needs to get out to, like, you know, Dan Bongino's, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, that other new guy that took Michael Medved's place. Yeah.
I don't know most of those people.
Just very thoughtful and, you know, what's the best possible options for moving forward.
I spent all night. I had a sleepless night. Last night I tossed and turned and I ran every possible scenario. If we did this, what would happen? If we did that, what would happen? Mm. If he did, you know, and I looked at possibilities, and what I've just enunciated is the best outcome I can think of for our country. Mm-hmm. So you just have to swallow your pride.
Well, I agree with you.
And be the bigger man.
Yes, sir.
I agree.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Ray.
And I just think what's going on with Samuel Alito, our one of our chief justices, and this flag issue. You know, I think I never knew that we had a appeal to heaven flag back in the early colonial days.
Actually, that George Washington flew that flag.
I believe that, you know, most of our founding fathers and people back then had a sense of a higher power that they believed in. And I really believe that it made a difference in the foundation of our country. And I think that's what we need to fly that flag again and appeal to that higher power that you believe in to get something changed. My two questions are PRP for Dr. Nelson and then one for you about your weight loss clinic. What should I go with first?
Let's see. How about weight loss? We haven't talked about that in a while.
All right. Let's do weight loss.
Okay.
What do you want to know about weight loss?
I need to lose a few pounds, you know, maybe 10, 15 pounds I'd like to lose. And, you know, I've heard you talk about your clinic. I haven't heard you talk about the process. But, you know, being on conservative radio, the two big stations that you're on, there's a couple other clinics that are really pushing their product, their program. So I was just wondering if you could tell me why yours might be more superior to, say, East Side Weight Loss Clinic that I'm hearing a lot of ads for lately.
Okay. Well, first, I know nothing about East Side Weight Loss Clinic.
Neither do I.
They
must need clients if they're really pumping the ads, just saying.
Yeah. But here's the issue. Whatever methodology you use, calories in versus calories out is the final analysis. You know, the human body, it to some extent, is like a machine, except that the advantage or disadvantage we have as a machine is that if we consume energy and don't expend it, we store the excess and we store it as fat. And the only way you're really going to get that fat off is to consume less energy than you burn. Now, you can do that as a combination. You know, you can both enhance your burn and decrease your consumption, and that does it even faster.
And then there are other factors that may play a role.
Like
no, hang on. There are other factors that play a role here, and we tackle all of those. That's the difference, the metabolic factors, the hormonal, the biology, the physiology, the mental, the emotional. And so you cannot just say, you know, your basal metabolic rate is this, keep your caloric intake at that. And that's where we differ. And we're very thoughtful. We didn't jump on this bandwagon for the longest time. We stood on the sidelines until the cardiac literature was published.
Right.
That's when we said, you know, there is now enough evidence that this is the right thing to do. And then all our doctors were trained. Every single physician that practices in our practice is certified to offer this treatment.
But let me back away a little bit and go to the basic human physiology. We are designed to be fat. It's unfortunate. But our ancestors were not intermittent fasters. They were intermittent eaters. Take a look at human teeth. They're not very impressive. You know, my 10-pound kitty cat has better fangs than I've got. You know, and her claws are much better than my fingernails. The reality is we are weak in tooth and claw. And our ancestors were more scavengers than they were hunters. But what we did whenever food was available, we ate it. And we ate and we ate and we ate in the summer and fall when there was a lot of food available. And we gained every pound we could before winter came. Because when winter came, food was going to be in short supply. Mm-hmm. And if our ancestors went into winter skinny, mm-hmm. they died mm-hmm. and did not get a chance to have babies the next year. So we are descended from those creatures who were designed and who practiced getting as fat as they could every summer and fall to survive through the winter. What really happened is the chubbies inherited the earth, and we are the descendants of those chubbies. Okay. The problem we've got now is that food is not in short supply in the winter. Food, high calorie, very tasty foods are available 24/7 for us year round, mm-hmm. every year. Mm-hmm. And our instinct, our genome is saying, clean your plate, eat it all, go get some more, have seconds.
That's right. There are starving children in a third world country.
The food, well, not only that, the processed food makes us want it more. Yes. It's neurochemistry that they've changed.
That's true. And so the issue is we are genetically coded to overeat whenever we can, and we always can. Mm-hmm. And so we have to do strategies mm-hmm. that will help us to, you know, to alter what's happening to us. The other problem is as we age, our anabolic hormone load is declining. And the anabolic hormones, the dehydroepiandrosterone, testosterone, these things are made to make lean muscle and lean tissues. And as those anabolic hormones decline with age, we shift our metabolism away from muscle towards fat. Mm-hmm. And so we are designed to get fluffier as we get older. And that's not new, and that's not due just to changes in our food supply. Look at the old paintings from the 1400s. And you'll see that those Dutch middle-aged ladies were quite thick, all right, 700 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they did not have our modern processed foods and our grocery stores. But whenever food was in heavy supply, people got fat. Mm-hmm. It's an age-old story for human beings. It's the way we're made. Mm. And so for the first time, we have things like semaglutide, mm-hmm. that actually alter our metabolism, alter the way we do carbohydrates, and alter our appetite.
Yes.
So we now have a drug for the first time in history, and now we're getting 3 and 4 new variants of that drug that are even more effective than the original, that people can simply take a shot once a week or a pill now once a week, semaglutide capsules or tablets, and change their appetite and change the amount that of food they're going to take in and alter their metabolism so that they don't shift it to fat as fast. And of course, in our clinic, we like to replace those anabolic hormones so that instead of making fat, you make muscle and ligament and bone and tendon rather than fat. So we want to attack both sides of it, okay? Mm-hmm. We increase anabolic load. We also look at your thyroid function, because the thyroid alters your thermostat. How fast and how hot is your metabolism burning? Mm-hmm. How many calories are you burning even when you're sitting sleeping? And as we age, the amount of free thyroid hormone tends to decline with age. And so our TSH starts to rise, trying to stimulate our thyroid to work harder. We can bring that thyroid back to more youthful levels. So you're burning more calories even when you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things we can do that most clinics don't do. Okay. We can alter your hormone metabolism. We can include in your thyroid function, your testosterone, your dehydroepiandrosterone, and we can give you things that will decrease your appetite and alter your carbohydrate metabolism. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of places can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Okay, hope that's, there you go. Hope that is good for you. Good information for you, Ray, about weight loss. And you can get more details at Longevity. Go to our website, lmclinic.com, for information on that. We are going to take a break right here, and we will be back with Robert in just a moment.
I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Told you, I'm not a pacifist.
No. Oh, welcome back. We are Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Dan Nelson, and Dr. Samira Umat. I'm Lynette. We're all talking behind the scenes. You got to get a little taste of that, and you will, in just a few weeks, be able to see us as pop in and out of the studio, grab drinks of water, or we're talking and the doctors are on their computers. So
we're not going to show them what's in our cups.
No. Hopefully we'll all have matching, you know, cups. Otherwise, we all have our...
We should have longevity medical cups, Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of like mine that says leftist tears.
Well, and I like my Beauty and the Beast mug.
Oh, I have a vision of mine saying longevity medical clinic.
There we go. Wow. And Dr. Nelson has some type of...
Brita water.
Brita water with a...
From the Sundance Film Festival.
Okay.
I believe my son got that.
It's interesting when they don't want something, you kind of find yourself having surplus of things.
Yes.
Because they don't want this, they don't want this, they don't want this.
So
and when they want something, that's gone.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Several calls on the line here. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Here's that number, 206-421-5757. Now, Ray, we were talking about weight loss with you, and you had one more question about PRP. Is that right? Oh, he's not here. Okay, so he may call back. Let's head to Seattle. Robert is on the line. Welcome, Robert.
Yes, thank you. I have a question about rapamycin and Prevnar 20 pneumonia shot. I've had inflammation high all my life. My CRP is 2.93, 3 and over is considered high. My SED rates are always around 12 out of a range of 0 to 15. So I have inflammation. I've felt I always have had it. Mm-hmm. And lately I've gotten access to rapamycin. I was told it was a pretty good anti-inflammatory, so I thought, well, I should try this. I told my primary care doctor I was going to try rapamycin. He didn't seem to know too much about it, but he was real concerned. He kind of went bananas and said, don't do that because you'll have a lowered immune system and you're likely to get an infection. Now, I've recently been diagnosed with mild Crohn's, which I'm taking care of, but he really was zeroing in on the infection thing, so... Okay. I think I'm going to probably go ahead and do it anyway. but my question is, I do want a Prevnar 20 shot. Would it be best to take that shot before the protocol for rapamycin or after?
And how it depends on how much rapamycin you're taking. Your doctor is right. your doctor is right. If you are on 2 milligrams a day, 7 days a week, that's 14 milligrams a week. It is used in those high doses for people who are organ transplant receivers, and it is an immunosuppressant at high doses. At lower doses, it hits sirtuin 1, not sirtuin 2. Sirt 2 is what impacts your immune system. As long as you're using a low enough dose that you only hit sirt 1, or if you're using a higher dose where you may suppress sirt 2 for 24 hours, I'm less worried about that. But if you're suppressing it all the time, now I get concerned with you. Okay.
I'm going to do 5, I guess. That's a suggestion. A week.
Yeah, 5 milligrams a week.
You'll get five little pills a week. I don't know whether I should take I should have the vaccination before or after I start the protocol.
For safety's sake, I would get my vaccination first. Okay. Although the reality is, if you take 5 milligrams of rapamycin in one day, in one dose, you'll probably get a little dip in your immune response for a couple of hours, and that's it. Okay, rapamycin clears the system quite quickly, actually. And what we're finding is that even in those people that are taking the higher dose rapamycin 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for years at a time, they do not get an increased risk of infections, nor do they get increased risk of cancer. In fact, they get lower risk of cancers. So the decreased inflammatory reaction appears to lower the risk of almost every solid cancer around. So on balance, rapamycin in any kind of reasonable dose seems to be a net positive.
So would 1 week be a sufficient time period after the vaccination to start the rapamycin?
Yes, that'd be fine. Yeah. Once your immune response is over, and even then, if the vaccination is a live virus or an attenuated virus, that's one thing. If it's not an intact virus, it's not going to matter either way.
Prevnar 20 is a live virus. I'm not sure. Had the series in 2015, the first one, and 2017, the second one. I think they're just about out. When I was a kid, I had pneumonia 3 times, so it nearly killed me the third time. So pneumonia is the only thing I really worry about.
Appropriately so, it sounds like. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I hope that answered your question. Now.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Did you have a second question for one of the other docs, or was that it?
No, that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you so much, Robert. We're going to take our next call, get the question, then take a quick break. Let's head over to beautiful Sammamish. David is on the line. Hi there, David. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, Robert.
And that's you, David. He's listening to us.
On the radio. Yeah.
On the radio.
Okay. Yeah. How can we help, sir?
Hi there, David.
Hi. I have a question for Dr. Nelson. About 2 weeks ago, on May 15th, I developed this pain in my lower left back, which it's only there. It's far from the spine. I don't think it's involved with the hip, but it's very sensitive, and it can really be painful at times. It seems that when I'm going down, trying to lay on my back, it's not the getting on my back that hurts. It's getting into that position that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you've ever dealt with anything like that.
Yes. I mean, if it's it sounds like you might have tweaked a facet joint, most likely. That's probably the most common cause. The facet joints are on the back of the spine. They literally run from the base of the skull all the way down to the tailbone. And they're kind of designed to slide up and down when we flex or extend, and kind of side to side when we twist. As we get older, they get a little bit, you can get a little bit of chronic inflammation, arthritis. We all get it to some extent. And my suspicion, just from hearing you talk about it, I think that's the most likely cause. Obviously, there could be other causes, but that would be something we'd look at first. You know, we'd do our history and physical exam, maybe get an x-ray. Sometimes we'll get an MRI, but that's probably the leading cause, facet joint arthritis or inflammation, the most common cause probably of that kind of pain.
Well, it's not really, it's far from the spinal cord. That's but you say it can be that far away?
Well, it depends how far away. I mean, it's is it more than a hand width from the spine?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. So more out on the hip, kind of towards the back of the hip then?
At the back of the hip, but it's above that.
Okay.
So it's in the soft tissues above the hip bones?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. Is it a hand breadth? If you put your hand down there so that your pinky is right against the top of the hip bone,
okay,
how high above it does it go? Is it half a hand breadth, a full hand breadth, more than that?
Maybe about a hand width.
Okay.
So we're almost up to the rib cage.
Right.
Okay. We're up almost to the kidneys.
So let's take a quick break. The doctors are going to chat, and you stay right there, David. We'll be right back after the break. We'll see what we can do for you. All right. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, and here is the number to get through with your question for the doctors. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. Oh, welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. We're glad you're here today. We are live in the studio with three doctors in front of the microphones. Dr. Samira Umat is here, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and we have Dr. Dan Nelson from Pro Ortho. He is our pain specialist. And we're talking about pain, that back pain, with David.
Right, David. Yeah. After consulting with my two fellow physicians here, we came to the conclusion that it's really hard to diagnose this over the radio.
Based on your questions, maybe it is closer to the hip, a little further down from my kidneys, but it's strictly on the left side, and it is away from the spine.
See, the problem is there are a whole group of muscles in that area.
Right.
Right.
It could be. And the fascia over between those muscles to allow them to slide back and forth across each other. You can get a fasciitis. You can get inflammation of that. You can get minor tears and injuries in the muscle. Or you can get referred pain that's actually from the spine, because the nerve roots come out of the spine and run sideways around your body all the way to your belly button. And so anywhere along the route of that nerve, you can get referred pain.
Absolutely.
If it is in your spine. So this is one of those things you need to come in, let Dr. Nelson take a look, push it, pull it, prod it. I promise he won't stick needles in it.
Don't promise that.
Let me finish. I promise he won't stick needles in it initially.
Okay.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
You know, and
at least not for the first 45 seconds.
He'll narrow it down so that he can give you a pretty good idea what's going on. But then you probably want to do some imaging studies and some tests.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure.
And then. And then one of the favorite things that I have noticed he does is he does stick a needle in with some local anesthetic and he numbs something and says, did that make the pain go away? And that gives him idea about what it's being caused by.
Injection, it's a key piece of equipment that we use to kind of rule things in.
Absolutely.
So, everything Dr. Mixon said, absolutely true. I did some teaching last weekend at the Seattle Science Foundation for interventional pain fellows from around the country, and I always tell them, you got to touch your patients.
Yeah.
You have to lay hands on the patient. You have to move them around. We've gotten so far away from it in American medicine.
Right.
The UK still does a very good job of physical exam. Yep. It's kind of like been sidelined here, I think, in a lot of ways. So anyway, that's my little soapbox thing.
You're so right, Dr. Nelson. So many of my patients will come in and tell me they went for their wellness check and the doctor didn't even touch them.
Right.
How can you do a wellness check without even touching them?
Exactly right. So, but this is something we do. Just, you got to touch the patient. You got to do a few maneuvers and and then go from there.
There you go.
Okay, right. So I should just call your office and make an appointment.
Absolutely. I think Lynette's going to give you the number right now.
Oh, yes. If you've got a pin, I've got the information for you, David, to contact.
Let me get a pen here for a moment.
All right. He's grabbing the
crayon, pin. Lipstick, whatever.
Just don't write in blood.
Lipstick. Okay.
That's
all
right.
Oh, no.
Right, go ahead.
Okay. So, David, here is the contact information for Dr. Dan Nelson at Pro Ortho. Here's the phone number, 425-823-4000. So 425-823-4000. You can also go online. DanielNelsonMD.com is his website.
How many lipsticks do you have hanging around you, Jerry?
I've got a few.
I have a wife who has quite a collection of them.
There you go. All right, David, thank you so much for your call.
Well,
hopefully
you.
You'll get into Dr. Nelson and his team and get some pain relief. Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, David.
Headed south, going to Vancouver, Washington. John is with us. Hi there, John. Thanks for tuning in. How can we help?
Hi there. Thank you for taking the call, and thank you for your community and military service, and especially your political perception. They are in the process of treating Mr. Trump a little rougher than what you mentioned. They're trying to withdraw the Secret Service protection that he has, and that's going to be very, very bad. But anyway, the reason I call was to ask about rhubarb. I got A1C that's crept from 5.0 to 5.9 in about a year and a half. And I've been told that I better get on rhubarb.
The only time I've had rhubarb is in a pie,
ooh,
and I like it with a little bit of vanilla ice cream.
And strawberries. Yeah.
Strawberry pie.
How is that rhubarb going to lower his A1C, Jerry?
I don't know.
Wow. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay.
Clearly, though, A1C is going up. I mean, from 5.0 to 5.9. He is, at this rate, will be in diabetic range within another year, and he's in a pre-diabetic range right now.
So something
needs to be done. I would be looking for causes for that rising sugar. Have you gained weight? Have you changed your diet or your exercise activity over the course of the last year? Has anything significant changed?
I've started exercising like crazy. I do pretty good for 89. I go to the gym three times a week.
Uh-huh.
I have an elliptical here at the house and I call it a horizontal bike. I get on that.
Uh-huh. Good.
I avoid, like the plague, high carbohydrate food.
Okay.
Cake, whatever.
Did
I take Berberine.
Yeah, good.
But you're pushing 90. And the first thing I think of at 90 is pancreatic failure.
Well, and rhubarb actually increases release of insulin from the pancreas. That's how it helps lower sugar.
All right, so that may well be not bad advice, except, if 90-year-olds generally don't make as good an insulin function.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you were a patient at our clinic and we were seeing this, we'd be measuring your peak and fasting insulin levels. We'd be looking to see how well your pancreas is actually producing insulin. And we'd probably even do a glucose challenge, give you 75 grams of glucose and then check your insulin before we gave it to you fasting, check your insulin and your sugar 30 minutes after you ate the sugar so that we'd see how high your sugars go and how much insulin your pancreas is producing in response to that. Okay, because at your age, it's not uncommon for the pancreas just to be wearing out and not be able to produce enough insulin to bring your sugar down well. So, and medication-wise, the first things that spring to mind, although before giving you anything, I'd want to do our testing and evaluation.
Sure.
Would be metformin and berberine.
which he's on, yeah. And also Jim Nima.
Okay, yes. So yeah, those, Jim Nima, berberine, and metformin. And these are things that increase insulin sensitivity of the tissue, so you don't need as much insulin to bring your sugar down. Okay. And the Jim Nima actually helps to stimulate the pancreas. Mm. So we're giving you things to increase sensitivity to insulin and to stimulate the production of insulin just a bit, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Mm. The other thing, spell Jim Nima for me? It's not taking notes.
Yeah. It's G-Y-M-N-E-M-A, Jim Nima.
Okay. I think I put in Jemima.
And then, Jerry, I also like chromium. Chromium helps a lot. So, you know, that combination of chromium, Jim Nima, which is in our healthy blood sugar support, along with berberine, which we have separately.
Yeah. So, you know, you need...
Is that a supplement or a prescription?
Yes. No, it's a supplement, yeah. The only prescription in that group that we were discussing is the metformin.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Mixon's rule, first diagnosis, then therapy. So we need to find out what's happening to you.
Okay. Thank you, John. Hey, we'll be back with hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Lee will be talking with you in just a moment. Paul and Michael, you're up next as well. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and here's that number to get through today. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.